Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
All right. Good morning. Welcome to the program. So today is just 2 days before Father's Day, and you don't want to miss that. You want to make sure you get that right. So today on program on this Faith and Family Friday program, I'm going to talk to fathers. I'm going to talk to about Catholic dads, about being a great Catholic dad. I'm going to give you 10 different ways to be a great Catholic dad. And I think I'll have time at the end to share with you 10 ways to actually honor your dad on Father's Day. All right, I'm looking forward to this program. Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord our God, thank you and praise you for the gift of fathers. I thank you for each of our fathers and the fathers that have gone before us, those fathers who have lived the faith and handed on the faith and who have nurtured faith in their children. And Lord, I ask a blessing upon all those who listen, upon all fathers. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would bless them as we enter into this weekend and give them a sense of encouragement and inspiration to press forward, to live magnanimous lives. Lord, live lives that are stretching towards holiness, stretching towards great things for you. Lord Jesus, help us never to settle for less, settle for earthly goals, but even as we pursue earthly things, that we would do so with the heavenly vision. We would do so with the grace and the strength that is provided by you, and that as such would also radiate your heavenly light here on earth. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of being able to do that. We make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, it's great to be with you today. Today, it's just me. Carrie is busy about many things, including kids finishing up school. And this is actually an interesting weekend in the current household, because not only is Sunday Father's Day, it's one of those situations that happens more often than we realize, that Father's Day also falls on the 16th of June, which is the birthday of my daughter, Ariana. And this is one of the pains in her heart. One of the sacrifices that she has made in her life is that she is called upon to share her birthday with Father's Day. And so Carrie actually brought that up to me yesterday. She said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, let's honor Ariana on Sunday, and then we can figure out me later, right? That's kind of a, there you go. That's a fatherly thing to do, right? And we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out, whether it's honor me on a Saturday night, or maybe even hunt for a week and honor me a week later. But I want to make sure that my daughter gets honored actually on her birthday. That for me is a big deal, as she hits the big 2-0, the big 20 years old. That's a big deal. So that's my hope. Well, today on the program, I'm going to reflect on being a father, and I'm going to share with you 10 characteristics of a great Catholic dad. And I'll share why those, I believe, are important in being a great Catholic dad. And my hope is, I know I can go on about these, and several of them I could probably talk about for a whole program, but I won't. I will get through them. And I will share, even if it's only briefly, 10 ways to honor your dad on Father's Day. Maybe it should be called Father's Way. Father's Day, and Father gets his way. I will share that. I have a list of 10 things that you can do to honor your dad on Father's Day. I am mindful, once again, of the wonderful Catholic man who is a husband and a father, who is going to be absent from the family here on earth, will be present from heaven. That's our hope. That's Brian O'Rourke. I prayed a rosary for him yesterday. And I was connecting with Ron Belzer, the president general manager of Sacred Heart Radio. And he said, hey, Al Cresta is also near to death. He is close to ending his life here on earth and headed towards heaven. You know him from Cresta in the Afternoon. He, for me, has been, he was a model. I first modeled my program off of the way that he interviewed. I found his way of interviewing so conversational and interesting questions and bringing out insight. And I had a chance to tell him that many years ago when he came out to Holy Family in Kirkland for an event. And it was a really neat thing to be able to connect with him. And he seemed actually moved by the idea that someone like me, just launching at that point, I was only doing Catholic radio for a few years, that I had seen his program as a model for how Catholic radio ought to be. But be that as it may, pray for him and for his family as he is finishing his journey here on earth and heading home to heaven. And I think, you know, that's a, as we do that, as we pray for families who have lost loved ones or for families who have a loved one that is near to death, it does bring us back to reality, which is so important, brings us back to the reality that life here on earth is actually really short and the stakes are immensely high. How you live on earth impacts how you will live forever. Just let me say that again. How you live on earth impacts how you live forever. You see this in things that don't really matter in the end. I mean, they matter, but in such a small way. How you practice, if it's a sport, how you practice and train off the court impacts how you play on the court, right? So what, how you put in all your time outside of the event impacts how you in fact show up in the event. There's a Catholic runner. I don't think people think of him as a Catholic runner. Usain Bolt, the fastest sprinter of all time. And he said, this is a paraphrase, I trained 4 years to run a race that lasted less than 10 seconds. I trained for 4 years for the sake of running a race that lasted less than 10 seconds. And there you see the idea that there was, even though it was a short race, there was so much at stake in it, right? It was showing up optimally when it mattered, because that there was everything on the line. And he was willing to commit really his whole life, but then 4 intensive years between the Olympics, right? This is what we're talking about, winning the Olympic gold medal in the 100-meter race. And he did, right? And but that vision of things, you live 60, or however many years God gives you to live, to impact how you're going to live forever. And I don't know if I call it a crazy thing, the weird thing, the ironic thing is, if we only had a heavenly perspective, if we could only put ourselves in the standpoint of heaven and say, okay, here I am, now I'm in heaven, what am I going to say to myself that is living back on earth? What would I say to my earthly self while there's still time if I could speak to myself from heaven? And I really have no doubts. And it would be something like, how you live matters more than you can imagine. What you do with your time makes all the difference. It is so much more important than you know. Wasted time has eternal consequences. And, you know, I've pointed to people like saints or holy men and women who report visions of souls who have died and gone to heaven and then appear back to them and will bring them a message. And that message is, you know, if only I could have prayed one more Hail Mary, if only I could have gone to one more Mass, if only I would have had the opportunity to pray one more rosary, the impact that it would have had on me for how I live forever is immensely different, right? And, you know, we hear that and it might spur us on, or it might stir us a bit, or it might say, oh, that's kind of goofy. And we just don't do anything about it. And that's really sad. That's really sad. It's one of those things where if only, you know, it's like, I actually would, I would talk like this when it came to evangelizing. I would say to folks when I was giving like a training on not just what is evangelization or how to evangelize, those would be two of the talks. I would give a talk on why evangelize. Why evangelize? Like, why is it so important for us to proclaim the good news, to proclaim Jesus? And one of the reasons I would give would be this analogy, this a picture in your mind, the judgment. And at the judgment, here we are, all of humanity and all of history coming before the throne of God to be judged for the life they've lived on earth and how they will spend their eternity. And someone comes running up to you, someone that you knew, maybe a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, a family member, a spouse, or someone, they come running up to you, they shook you and they said, you knew, and you never told me. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? And it was, whether it was, why didn't you tell me about Jesus? Why didn't you tell me about repentance? Why didn't you tell me about healing? Why didn't you tell me about the call we had to be saints and to fulfill a God-given mission and that we had a mission on earth? Right? Why didn't you tell me? You knew. And it's that trying to like shake away the lethargy, shake away the cobwebs in our thinking when it comes to the idea that there really is something at stake in your life. And part of what's at stake in your life is the stewardship that God has given to you because of what you have received. You are the beneficiary, brothers and sisters. You are the recipient of many great graces and gifts from the Lord our God, his tender mercies, his presence, the sanctifying grace coming from the sacraments, being Catholic or being a Catholic or a Christian, a disciple of Jesus, a follower of the Lord, and preserved from so much by his mercy and rescued from so much because of his mercy, and lavished upon you the patience of the Lord when you fall short or are quick to stumble back into sin or are slow to repent. And the Lord's mercy, his generosity, his patience, his kindness, the love that he's poured into you. There's something at stake in that. There's a stewardship in that. And I just want to convey to you, this wasn't even on my agenda. This wasn't on my list. I've got my list of top 10 Catholic things that a great dad will exemplify a great dad. Well, the first one is holiness. So that whole idea of prioritizing your relationship with God and living for the Lord, such that, guess what? Even when you're doing mundane things, you can be radiating heavenly realities. Even doing the daily things of your life on earth that are just human, right? They're just human things. They also can be the conduit, the means of our Heavenly Father shining through your fatherhood. So it can be a conversation with your kids. It can be driving them to school. It can be how you're modeling through the way that you live your life, right? All of those things that are just, let's call them just human, also have the capacity, because of God's grace, because of baptism, and that means that Jesus Christ is living in you, his spirit is alive in you, that means that you become a portal for divinity to radiate on earth. Whoa, did you just hear that? A great dad is an active portal, an active conduit an active instrument, a window for the radiance of divinity, of God's life, of holiness, to be made manifest in the environments, relationships, conversations, and interactions that you have day to day. That's what's at stake. And if you live that way, if that's how you live, then guess what? You just might have the opportunity to be impacting your own eternity. Well, there you go. How's that for gentle opening to Friday's Faith and Family program, that in the midst of moments that are very poignant and have a tragic quality, as I shared yesterday with the loss of Brian O'Rourke in just terrible circumstances and unexpected loss of his life, God was not caught off guard. And he went before the Lord as a man full of Catholic faith and a man so dutiful and striving to live his life with integrity, with his wife, Teresa, and their kids, that he met the Lord. You know, he met the Lord. And I've been praying for him and for the family, for him to have been ready for that encounter with Jesus. Now he has entered into his eternity. And one day we will too. Life goes by so fast, brothers and sisters. If I could only plead with you as a Catholic dad, and I strive to be someone who would be holy. That's the first priority, the first call. And again, this is not meant to be complicated. When I say holy, I'm not first referencing doing deeds, doing actions, and saying words that people identify as spiritual or Catholic. I'm talking about deepening and making more dense or profound, or intense is another word, but I prefer profound and dense, the union that you have with Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit. The union deepens. And as that union with the Holy God and the Holy One of God, Jesus Christ, deepens, you will manifest, you will radiate more fully the divinity of God the Father. You will radiate the divine life through your life. Even mundane. Mundane comes from the root word mundus, means the world. Even doing just worldly things, those become the privileged points of access of godly things. And so I've gone over a little bit here, but I just wanted to launch with that first point. Holiness matters, O Catholic fathers. And on as we approach this, you know, beautiful Catholic, this beautiful Father's Day coming up in just a couple of days, it is a wonderful opportunity to focus on 10 things that we could be striving for to live as great Catholic dads. All right, coming up to a break, or I'm up against a break. When I come back, I'll continue on to the second one. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran, and on this Faith and Family Friday, I'm talking about fathers, talking about Father's Day, and starting with 10 different aspects or characteristics of a great Catholic dad. And the first one that I floated into was a great Catholic dad strives to be holy. And in a certain sense, it's even not just strives. A great Catholic dad is holy. And what that means is that is in a profound union with Jesus Christ, prioritizes that union, and wants to make sure that that union is protected and nurtured day to day. Obviously, in the remaining 10, I'll be unfolding different facets of how that manifests itself, but got to get first things first. Just got to get first things first, brothers. Okay, second. Second is a great Catholic dad loves his wife. And I think that this is again creating a sense of priority, right? I can remember being taught, not in the seminary. This is interesting. I didn't learn about understand God's priorities for your life and how do you help laity? How do you help people living in the world prioritize, have priorities for how they live their lives? But it was God, family, work, ministry. God, family, work, ministry. But within family, it was God, wife, children, work, ministry. So if you're called, what are your calls? You know, your call is to become holy through living out the duties of your state in life. And talking today about fathers, I'm going to be referencing principally here the context of married life, that your first call is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as you love Christ, as Christ loved you. Like, love one another as I have loved you. And in the family, that means first loving your wife. So the best way that I'm going to love my kids is by loving my wife as a priority. And fathers, this is really important. It's Father's Day. It's not Husband Day. It's Father's Day. And that actually brings up what is often a temptation. And the temptation is, and I know it's something that Carrie and I have wrestled with, it's when you're given, when you've been blessed with a lot of children, and these kids are younger, there is a very easy turning of the husband and wife away from looking into each other's eyes and being turned towards their kids, towards the eyes of their kids. And it's natural, and it's obviously often required, but if the turning towards kids, where the husband and wife are spending really the great majority of their time when they're together in the home, but not attending towards each other, but attending to the kids, then they're side by side looking, if you will, downwards towards their children, not looking down upon, but just looking down rather than looking across, right? Just to use a spatial analogy, that that it can become easy to have that relationship become less a point of focus, less a point of attention and nurturing. And that could be a big deal. And so as Carrie and I, again, blessed with 9 kids in 12 years, that is busy. That is busy. And it's exhausting and it's draining. And it can be one of those things where let's tag team. It's like, okay, you're watching these kids, I'll watch those kids. And okay, I've been watching the kids all day. Now it's your turn. I just need a break. Or, and just divide and conquer. You handle those, get those to bed, and I'll take care of these other. And then by the time everyone is settled, there's no time left for each other. Goodness, in the course of my life doing church work, how many times have I heard about parents who become empty nesters, and it's like, oh gosh, we've got to rediscover each other. We've spent so much of our life energy over the past 10, 20, 30 years raising our kids that we have become somewhat strangers to each other. And on the one hand, again, it's understandable. On the other hand, we shouldn't accept it. It shouldn't be acceptable. We shouldn't just settle for it. That's why, again, Carrie was brilliant in recognizing this and saying, look, we need to provide babysitting to families who have little kids or lots of kids, and they need to get out. That often involves a financial challenge, even today more than ever. And so just today, I heard Carrie on the phone talking to a family, just saying, look, just let us know when you can drop the kids off at our house and just go on a date night, just get away. Or let us know, I'll send my kids down, they'll watch your kids, and just get out for a date night. Just get out, take some time for yourself, take some time as a couple. And there's only one requirement: you can't pay my kids, right? So it's not about putting a burden of finances on the family. It's really about just helping the family to be able to, the husband and wife, be able to nurture that relationship. One of the things that I've learned as my kids have gotten older is their consciousness, their acknowledgement that how Carrie and I relate makes a huge difference. how we treat each other, how we are present in the home really matters. I'll talk more about this in the next point as well. But when my oldest four are girls, 24, 22, 21, and on Sunday, 20, that they have said that, Dad, when we think about who we're looking for in a husband, the kind of traits, characteristics, attributes that we want in a husband, there's a natural tendency towards looking for somebody who's like you. And that's, you know, one of those sort of cutesy old chestnuts, that idea that, you know, the guy marries his mom, the wife marries the dad. And by that meaning that there's a natural sense of saying who a husband is, I have absorbed through being in the home where my mom and dad related. And so that's what I'm thinking a husband looks like, just through that absorbing of the culture, the atmosphere of the home. And boy, do you realize that? Guys, do you realize that? How you treat your wife matters, because it's going to create in your daughters a sense of, oh, this is what I ought to expect from my husband, the way that my dad is treating my mom. And for the guys, oh, this is what is expected of me as a husband towards a wife. It's what is it just, again, it's just washed over, soaked in. It gets sewn into the heart of the kids, and we don't even realize it. I think it gets super simplified in the idea that your example matters, right? Right. Actions speak louder than words. And those truisms, I think, have deeper roots and impacts than at first blush we realize. So love your wife. And for a Catholic, that means you follow the model of Christ the bridegroom and how he loved the bride, the church, right? Ephesians 5. He gave up his life for her. He died for her. He sacrificed for her. He underwent a passion and death. It's self-sacrifice. Sorry, it's self-donation. That's love. Self-giving. You forge your life into a gift. Self-giving to the point of self-sacrifice. And that's our model. Now, our model, it doesn't mean, please hold on to this. This is a truly Catholic idea for Catholic fathers, that when we are called upon to love our wives the way that Christ loved the church, it was really husband more than father, is that you don't imitate Christ at a distance. Christ is our model for how to treat our wives. And so I look and kind of watch how he lived. And then I think about it in the moment. Okay, this is how I'm supposed to live. Let me see if I can translate that into what's appropriate. That is not the meaning of Christ loved the church and we're called upon it to, here's the word, imitate. To imitate is not to mimic. To imitate Christ's love for the church is not to mimic it. That is to have the love of Christ for the church be a model, an example that we look at and then evaluate and apply. No, to imitate means that Jesus Christ is going to live out his relationship with his bride, the church, in you, that Jesus lives in you. The risen Lord Jesus, the glorified Lord Jesus, is living in you, and he is going to operate, he is going to move you to manifest in a tangible way, in a meaningful way, the reality of Christ dying on the cross for the church. So what you should expect is that his Holy Spirit alive in your heart is going to prompt you, nudge you, move you to die to self every day in many ways. And I can promise you, dying to yourself is never, ever going to be fun. It's always going to be a type of death, a dying to my desire, dying to what I would want, dying to what even I authentically need for the sake of what she authentically needs. And the good news is that loving your wife after the manner of Christ, because Christ himself is now loving your wife, a member of the bride, the church, in how you live, this can become a dynamism in your life. It can become the urge in your life. You won't be caught off guard that you're called to die to yourself. You won't be surprised that you're called to die to yourself. You won't be saying, oh my goodness, here it goes again. I'm supposed to die to myself. No, you will be open and receptive and responsive to the reality that you are called to die to yourself. And you'll move with it. Did I say it was easy? No. Did I say it was fun? No. Did I say that you will be able to overcome the resistance to the difficulty, to the even the suffering, the unpleasantness of it? Yeah. Yeah, you will. It'll become, this is what I signed up for. This is what it means to be a Catholic husband. A Catholic husband who's striving to live in accord with his Catholic call. So, all right, I'm up against a break. Back in a minute for more of the program.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com. Okay, back to Sound Insight.
Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. Today, I'm coming before you as a father, a Catholic father, striving to live as a magnanimous Catholic father. It's a Catholic father who's striving to do great things for God and living out his call to be a father. Doing so, I'm reflecting on this because it's Father's Day. I have 10 characteristics, attributes, or traits of a great Catholic father, not making them up, drawn from the scriptures and our tradition. And I'm presenting them before you just as a way of hopefully encouraging you some fervor to live in a way that is glorifying to God and is going to help you fulfill your call as a godly Catholic father. And I've got 10, and I've already gone through 2. And then I have 10 ways to honor your father that I did kind of commit to getting to. So since number 8 is integrity, I better plow through these 10 and get through the 10 ways as well in the last half of this program. Okay. All right, here we go. Facing my limits. Okay, number 3. I can actually get through the next several of these much more quickly because they all get traced back to those first 2. The third is to be a spiritual leader in your family. And honestly, fellows, come on now. I've been at, I don't know, I want to say 1,000. Like it was actually, yeah, it has to be more than 1,000 Catholic events in my life as a speaker. And I mean, I've given a few thousand talks in my 35 years of ministry, and being at thousands of Catholic events, the themes are often around things like discerning and living your call and family life. And probably the number one thing that I hear from Catholic wives, you know what I'm going to say. My husband, I'm waiting, looking, longing, begging, pleading that he would be a spiritual leader in the house. He would take up spiritual leadership in the home. And that's not to say that these men, these Catholic men, are not strong. It doesn't mean that they're not even strong leaders in their home. It doesn't mean that they're not successful. It's not presuming that they're just hanging around and just living self-centered lives. But when it comes to the very specific aspect of spiritual leadership, guiding your family in matters of faith and prayer, that is a gap. And it is a gap that is a yearning. It is a gap that is often very painfully experienced by women, by wives, who are longing for more of the Catholic spirit and atmosphere and formation in prayer and in spiritual like ways of looking at the world in the home. And again, this not, I'm sure this is not like a profound insight for you. It's like you've never heard this before. But let me just talk to the men for a minute here. Guys, there are a lot of things in this world that are rocket science. And this isn't rocket science. To use an analogy that is connected to my own life, there are a lot of things in this world I am not good at. I am not good at handyman things that so many of you would just laugh at. You'd just say, are you kidding me? Why? How do you not know how to do this? Why did you do it like that? What were you thinking? Right? So I humbly acknowledge that there are a lot of things that when you look at them, you're like, this actually is not complicated or difficult. It's just going to take a bit of like practice or a bit of study or a bit of attention. And you know what? You can quickly develop the insight and skill to be successful at this. And I say to you, thank you. And you know what? I'm willing to try. So I've been taking those kind of steps over the years to take on things that I have been not successful at and to be able to grow in them. Guys, I'm going to just put the mirror back in your face and say, leading your family in family prayer, not rocket science. And you know what? With a bit of attention, a little bit of skill, a little bit of effort, you can do this. At first, it'll be awkward. It'll be foreign. You'll fail at it. You will get attacked by the devil when it comes to trying to implement it. But none of those reasons are good enough not to do it. Just because you say, I don't know what to do. Just because you say, this is awkward and my family hasn't experienced it before. And if I called my family to gather or to pray, and I said to them, okay, everybody, we're going to pray right now. They're going to say, what happened to our dad? You know what? That's fine. Do it anyways. And if you stumble and you're not articulate and you're like, that was a big fail, press on. The seed falls on all kinds of soil. It'll get there. You'll get to that fertile soil that'll yield fruit. And trust me when I tell you, you will be attacked spiritually. The devil does not want you to be leading your family in prayer. And yet you'll see breakthroughs. You will see God's glory begin to work in your life and in your family's life through you taking this up. All right. Last thing I'll say about this is that if you have a hard time imagining praying with your family, I'm going to say to you, start today, if you're not already, by praying for your family more intently, more intensively, more extensively. Pray for your family. fast for your family, do penance for your family, give things up that are easy, comfortable, and enjoyable for your family. Pick on sacrificial types of activities for your family. Go to mass, go to confession for your family. Take cold showers for your family. Give up sweets for your family. These are things that you can do that is a way of exercising spiritual leadership. And so don't settle for, I've never been trained, I don't have the background, I don't know what's involved in it, this is too awkward. None of those are good enough. Exercise spiritual leadership. It'll be a huge blessing to your kids. It'll win you huge favor with your wife. And oh, guess what? It'll bring great joy to your own life. It'll break open a whole dimension of joy and fulfillment and meaning in your life. You won't regret it. You just might regret not stepping in to spiritual leadership more fully. All right. I want to talk about the next one because it's connected to it. It's not just like guiding your family in spiritual matters. It's not just praying for your family and then praying with your family. But the call to being a great Catholic dad also involves the next one, which is teaching your family. Teaching them. And so that would be mentoring, discipling, right? All of those ways of living your life of faith. And so it's something that I really want to encourage you to do is, if I wanted to make a distinction, it's be the leader and initiator in prayer, but also be the teacher or mentor to your kids as a father. And again, it's one of those things where I've focused more on the idea that how my kids are supposed to live will be taught more than taught. Like, let me set the example and let that spirit radiate and create an atmosphere in the home. And I already talked about how important that is, but it isn't a replacement for the taught, right? It's supposed to be caught by how we live, the atmosphere that flows from us, but it is also supposed to be taught by us. So great Catholic dads are also going to teach their kids, be mentors for their kids. And I think about this and I'm like, you know, I love teaching and mentoring my kids when it comes to sports. Like, I've been a coach for goodness, I think almost all my kids, maybe my youngest two, I've not coached them on a team. But all of my other kids, I'm pretty sure, I think there might have been one kid that snuck through, but I've been a coach to, yeah, there's, I think, one kid I wasn't a coach for. But all my other kids, I've been a coach for their teams. And that for me, most often, I think almost, it's always been basketball. Yeah, basketball coach for Mary Grace and Marie, not Mary Catherine. Gosh, I don't think I was a coach to Ariana either. Yeah, those were the really, really busy years. But yes, John Mark, yes, John Luke, yes, Annalise. And then Lucy and Lily. I've been a coach to Lily. I've just started coaching her. I mean, Lucy. So then it's just Liliana. And I love that. But then I could also do that just in the yard, right? Teaching them sports far more than just that. So, but you get that. And I know many of you are mentoring your kids on how to fix cars or how to do be handyman, stuff like that, or whatever you're good at, right? But spiritual things too. Teach them how to pray. Teach them how to read the scriptures. Teach them how to fast. Teach them other spiritual disciplines. Teach them how to live a moral life. Teach them how to treat a woman, right? All those types of things. Okay, back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. Great to be with you. All right. I am talking about 10 ways to be a great Catholic dad in honor of Father's Day. I've gotten through four. I surrender. I am not going to get through 10. Maybe I'll get through 10. I'll touch on all 10. And then maybe I'll just read the 10 ways to honor your dad on Father's Day. And there's nothing really truly profound there. It's basically the 5 love languages and some other things. So there you go. I referenced it. All right. So let's get through the other 5 of these great ways to be a Catholic dad. All right. I said holiness, loving your wife, spiritual leadership, mentorship, be a mentor, a teacher. Number 5, patience. Patience is so important. Patience has to do with, it's not just like, you know what, I stay calm. No, patience is being willing to undergo suffering in support of a godly goal, of a moral ideal, to achieve a good. It's willingness to undergo suffering with a spirit that is not thrown off, not turbulent. And I just think that that is so important. Goodness, when Carrie and I talk about what love looks like in marriage and family, I am so often going back to 1 Corinthians 13, that great hymn of love that you hear at all of the weddings, right? And what's the first characteristic? What's the first trait of love? Love is patient. Love is kind. And I don't know how many times I said this in the program. What are the first 2 signs that you're starting to lose love? You're departing from the path of love. You stop being patient and you stop being kind. Those are the 2, patience and kindness. And so, I don't know, I just bring that back to you as something that is really fundamentally important, is praying for patience. And I actually, I don't even have to say, pray for patience. I want to say this, your life as a father is going to bring into your life so many circumstances where you are going to be called upon to be patient. And acknowledging that you are called upon to be patient is, in fact, one of the supports for you to say, oh, I'm not surprised that I'm facing this trial, this difficulty, this tribulation, this difficulty. I'm undergoing suffering right now. And I'm gonna have an equanimity. I'm gonna be even keeled. I'm not gonna be thrown off by this, but I'm gonna undergo it with serenity. That's patience. Stay the course. So, yeah, versus what? Lose your temper, hair triggered, emotional outburst, intense response. That is not helpful. That's a sign that we as Catholic dads are missing out on a crucial foundation for being a great Catholic dad. And that is, you're patient and you're kind when your kids are being knuckleheads. When things are going, when they're thrown off, you don't lose your equilibrium. All right. And that's related to number 7, which is number 6, which is self-control, right? So I've already talked about holiness and loving, right? It is really about self-giving, and self-giving to the point of self-sacrifice. And patience is about being willing to be serene in the midst of suffering that comes to you. Self-control is another one. Self-control is that sense of being able to determine how I'm going to act in this moment. How am I going to act in this moment? And so you could think of self-control connected to temperance or moderation. So self-control, guys, will mean I'm going to be moderate or temperate regarding how much time I spend on the computer, watching videos, on the TV, on my smartphone. Control, moderation, temperate regarding what am I doing at work, and am I do I have any balance in terms of work life? Is self-control regarding eating and exercise, regarding personal use of time? Am I putting my things first and make sure that my stuff gets done above all, right? So that spirit is not helpful. But the spirit of Christ says, I'm going to maintain a sense of clarity about what it means to fulfill my call right now, and I'm going to be determined to live in accord with that call to be self-sacrificial, to let Christ shine through me, to be someone who is patient, right? Okay, next. Connected with that as well is integrity. When we do those things, a person of integrity, on the one hand, means honesty, right? It means I live what I say. I live what I say. I'm transparent regarding, I'm not hiding in my life. So I live transparently. And living with that sense of integrity, very crucial. That sense of being whole with my life. Let me continue on. I'm just going to push through. Again, I'm talking about 10 aspects or traits of a great Catholic dad. I've already mentioned holiness, loving your wife, spiritual leadership, mentorship, being patient, self-control, living with integrity. And then I will definitely talk about being a provider, right? And that's where I shared with you a few days ago, it's one of the biggest challenges I faced doing work in Catholic radio is trusting that God is my provider, a provident God. And I've already shared numerous times in the last month about He leadeth me and how God is provident, God provides, and God's will is poured into our lives every day, and I can trust Him come what may. And so God is calling you to be a provider, and that means working sacrificially and hard. But that provision is not just at a human level. It's also at a spiritual level. And boy, oh boy, how many times in my work as an executive coach dealing with very successful in a worldly measure, very powerful positionally in a worldly measure, these folks that I've worked with, and you know, from provision at in power and resources at a human level, A+. Provision in terms of fatherly love in a dimension of faith and time commitment and giving, those often, not always and not necessarily, but often run in opposite directions. And so many sad stories of them saying, I sacrificed my family's life. I sacrificed being a dad for the sake of my career because it was what was required of me, even though I was doing it for my kids. And my kids' message back was, I would have much rather have you as a dad than have that stuff or that vacation. But time has passed and it's gone and it's a loss. How sad is that? Which brings me to the ninth of these great being a great Catholic dad, it's humility, right? Humility, it's being willing to be corrected. It's being willing to be taught. It's being willing to say, I'm not in control. I don't have all the answers. And even when I'm in situations where I feel that I've got what it takes, I also have to be humble, and maybe especially in those situations, be humble enough to say, I'm relying on you, Lord. And when I fall short and when things go badly, to be humble enough to say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm desperate. Come and move. Which leads me to the last aspect of being a great Catholic dad, and that's surrender. That willingness quickly and daily to surrender your life into God's hands. You want to be a great Catholic dad? Make a morning offering every day, every single day when you start your day. I give you my life, Father. Father, I give you my life because I want to be a good father. I give you my life because I want to be a good son to you. I give my life because I want Jesus, you to live in me. And the Holy Spirit, I want you to move through me. And I want to be a great wife, a husband to carry, and a great father to my kids. And I want to be a great witness to you in the world. I surrender. Please, you take over. You provide, Lord. Well, there you go. Those are the 10. I hope and pray that that was a blessing to you. And as we approach Father's Day, and I pray that you do have a blessed Father's Day and you honor the fathers that are in your life. All right. I'm up against the end of my program. God bless you. Join me on Monday for more of the program.